بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها النبي إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. صدق الله العظيم. بسيد درو شريف، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وسيدنا محمد. Alhamdulillah, on the fazl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has given us tawfiq, hidayat, Allah has blessed us with iman, Allah has gathered us in His masjid to listen again to a talk of deen, so that we may rekindle our iman, become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to understand who we are, why we have been created, what is our position in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are a selected group of people because we are in a ummah of such a great person, such a great personality who we will discuss today, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That personality who had that maqam, that status, that position. That once, as he had entered his masjid, and as he would normally proceed to deliver a sermon or a khutbah or a lecture, he came, but this particular day, he sat on a minbar, a pulpit that was newly made for him. Previously he would stand, and as his standing position whilst delivering a talk would become very long, very lengthy, and he would become tired, and he would lean on a tree stump. He would recline on a tree stump just to get some type of support and rest as he was speaking. But this particular day he climbed the minbar, and as he was about to address his beloved companions, suddenly there was a shrieking sound that came out from this tree stump. فَصَرَخَ صُرَاخًا شَدِيدًا. This tree stump began to shriek aloud, very severely, crying. فَيَحِنُّ حَنِينًا. The ulama write, it began to sob like a baby to such an extent that Sahaba looked at this tree trunk, and the manner in which it was sobbing and crying, they all began to cry. Every Sahabi who was present there began to cry. فَنَزَلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. The master comes down the minbar. He goes forward. فَضَمَّ إِلَيْهِ. He embraces this tree trunk. He places his chest and he presses onto this tree trunk. And like how a little baby that is crying and then it is sobbing, and the mother or father then pats it and quietens it, Like that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to quieten this tree. Hatta hada'a, until it became silent. Imagine what a scene it is. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then gives it an option: if you wish, you could become a tree amongst the trees of paradise, or if you wish, you can go back to the tree, back to the garden from which you came. Immediately this tree opted for becoming a tree amongst the trees in paradise. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then mentioned to the sahaba, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَوْ لَمْ أَلْتَزِمْهُ. Allah's qasam, had I not embraced it and quietened this tree, it would have cried till إِلَى قِيَامِ سَاعَةٍ, till the day of Qiyamah. Hasan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi says, if this is the condition of a khashab, piece of wood, a bark, a tree trunk, that is crying out of shawqan ila Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, out of its yearning and longing for the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it realized who Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, it realized what his position was in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it began to cry bitterly. Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi says, if this is the position of a piece of wood, a bark, a tree trunk, khashab, then what about us? What about us, the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What type of yearning and longing we should have for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or for emulating the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He was no ordinary personality. His maqam, his caliber, his status so lofty. In the time of Mi'raj, when he is right by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or in communion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, among the very things that he had spoken to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he asked, Ya Allah, اتخذت إبراهيم خليلا, you have made Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam your khalil, or Musa kalima, kalimak, and you made Musa alayhi salatu salam kalimullah, he spoke to you, O Allah. And he mentioned various qualities of various anbiya alayhi salatu salam, and favors that Allah had bestowed upon them. Nuh alayhi salatu salam, Isa alayhi salatu salam, Dawood alayhi salatu salam, Sulaiman alayhi salatu salam. فَمَاذَا جَعَلْتَ لِي, oh my Allah, what about me? The same thing transpired once when he was in his house, and as he came out, he found his sahaba, some of them had congregated, and each one was discussing the favors of various anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam that Allah had given them. Somebody said, Ibrahim, oh, he was the khalil of Allah. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam, Allah had given, made the wind subservient to him and the jinnat. Dawood alayhi salatu wassalam, Allah had given him the kingdom of the world. Like that, they discussed so many favors. سَمِعْتُ كَلَامَكُمْ وَعَجَبَكُمْ, I heard your speech, I heard your astonishment, but Allah has made me his Habib. Allah says, أُدْنُ مِنِّي, أُدْنُ مِنِّي, أُدْنُ مِنِّي, come closer, come closer. I have made you my Habib, sallallahu alayhi. Such a favor, such a quality that surpasses, supersedes every other quality. You are my Habib, sallallahu alayhi. And that is why one poet says, Muhammadun basharun laysa kal bashari, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammadun basharun laysa kal bashari, Muhammadun yaqutatun wan nasu kal hajari. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a human being. Undoubtedly he was a human being. He had eyes, he had ears, he had a heart, he had lungs, he had limbs and organs, like he was a human being. But the poet said, وَلَيْسَ كَالْبَشَرِي, but he was not like a human being. His qualities, his akhlaq, his beauty, his kamal, his mannerism, his etiquette, his conduct, his lifestyle, his sunnats, his eating, his drinking, his meeting, his social dealings, his conduct, The way he behaved with his wife, the way he behaved with his children, with his parents, with his neighbors, with his workers, with society, with the enemy. How did he behave? What was his way? Not like a normal human being. Muhammad was a Yaqut. Far greater than a pearl and emerald. Poet has said Yaqut, just for us to, or to draw this analogy. Of course, you know, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was far, far beyond, far greater than a beautiful pearl or emerald. And he says, one nas, the rest of mankind, kal hajar, like a normal stone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not address him in the Quran. Ya Ahmad, Ya Muhammad. What did he say? Ya ayyuhal muzzammil. Ya ayyuhal muddathir. Ya ayyuhal nabi. Such love, such affection. Every other nabi. Ya Nuh. Ya Adam. Ya Musa. Ya Isa. Ya Dawood. Ya Sulaiman. But Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah showed him utmost respect. Ya ayyuhal muzzammil. Ya ayyuhal muddathir. O one who is wrapped up in a mantle, in a shawl, in a blanket. Imagine as he is walking, a Bedouin meets him, Arabi. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, Aina turid, where are you going to? He says, I'm going to a certain place. So Rasulullah then addresses him and says, Hal laka min khair? Should I not show you something good? Something that will benefit you? Some good thing? He says, what is it? He says, Tashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anni Muhammadu Rasulullah. Bring iman in one Allah. There is no deity. There is no ilah. There is no God that is worthy of being worshipped except Allah. And I, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm the messenger of Allah. So this Bedouin, simple person, فَهَلِّي مِن شَاهِد? Is there any proof for me to show that you are a Nabi of Allah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then looks at a tree very far away, عَلَى شَاطِئِ الْوَادِي, right at, on the edge of the valley. And suddenly this tree comes. فَأَقْبَلَتْ It came towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يَخُدُّ الْأَرْضِ Making a trench in the ground, coming direct to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, comes in front of him and he says, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنَّكَ مُحَمَّدُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ This Arabi says this, Ya Rasulullah, I've got some people, a qawm. I've got my friends, my relatives. Let me go and explain to them what I have seen. Perhaps I may bring all of them and bring iman. And if they don't bring iman, I'm already accepting iman. He accepted Islam. As Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be walking, many times you find a stone. Many times you'd find a tree. As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. This was his personality. We have heard this many times, but today we must reflect, ponder. As we are talking about the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just picture him. How beautiful he was, how handsome he was. The beautiful zulfa, black zulfa, coming to his earlobes. His face shining, smiling face, noor coming out from between his teeth, a luster on his nose, his palms absolutely soft. Anas radiallahu ta'ala says, ma masistu dibajan wala hariran alyana min kaffi rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I have never touched any silk fabric in my life more softer than the palms of my master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What an absurd request the mushrikeen made to him.
an absurd request. That if you're a true Nabi, show us a miracle. What miracle? Split the moon into two. Split the moon into two. What an absurd request. If you do this, then we bring iman. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns to Allah. Allah instructs him to place his finger towards the sky. Immediately it is split into two halves. Two separate halves. A caravan that was traveling happened to look on the top. Look at the sky. And they saw two halves of the moon. Shaqqul qamar. After seeing that also, after witnessing that, the mushrikeen still did not embrace Islam. But look at his caliber, look at his maqam, his loftiness. Splitting the moon into two. The companions are sitting with him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once. They've got no water to make wudu, it is time for salat. They are restless. What do we do now? There is some little bit of water in a container, which is not going to suffice so many of them. The Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam places his finger, Mubarak finger into this utensil. And immediately a spring gushes forth from between his fingers. Sahaba come and make wudu. The narrator say we were 300 Sahaba who made wudu. Have we pondered whose ummati we are? How great. This is only one simple example I'm giving. There are encyclopedias without exaggeration on the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not just articles and pages have been written, volumes upon volumes upon volumes. Each one a masterpiece. Volumes have been written. A person by the name of Rukana. Any person who challenged him in a wrestling match would be defeated. Rukana was one of the most strongest men in Makkah. He meets Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Challenge is put forward. Rukana comes with a broad smile, thinking it's going to be a walkover. He grabs the master sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then this tussle begins between the two. Not even a few seconds, Rukana is floored down. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa is sitting on top of his chest. Rukana cannot understand what happened. He's shocked. People are watching. What has happened to Rukana today? He says, no, something's wrong. I want to have a rematch. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa says, no problem. Rematch. Second time, the exact thing. And Rukana is on the floor looking at Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, no, one more time. The third time Rukana is floored, he's pinned to the ground. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam looks at him. Rukana realizes he's got some different type of strength. He's somebody else. Some narration mentioned at that point, some other narration mentioned other kitabs, that later on Rukana embraced Islam. His perspiration from his body was not like our human, like our perspiration. There was no smell that would come on. It was more fragrant than musk, more fragrant than the best of perfumes a person can have. Umm Sulaym radiallahu ta'ala anha. We discussed the other night, Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anha. On Mondays we discuss each one Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Monday that been passed, we discuss Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala an. And he was married to Umm Sulaym radiallahu ta'ala anha. And her name was Ghumaysa or Rumaysa or Sahla, according to various narrations. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when I entered Jannat, I could hear the footsteps of Ghumaysa in front of me. She was a woman of Jannat. She was given glad tidings in this world that she is a woman of Jannat. She was also from the mahram of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Scholars mention that in detail. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would sometimes come and make qaylullah at her house. He would come and rest at her house. And once she's busy collecting the perspiration that was coming out of the body of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a bottle, he wakes up. Umm Sulaym, what are you doing? She says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm gathering the perspiration that is coming out of their body. Why are you doing this? She says, it is more fragrant than any perfume that we have. I'm going to take these few drops of your perspiration and add it to our different perfumes we have, because it is going to now enhance the smell of our perfumes. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, Khaybar is taking place. Sahaba-i-Kiram, they could not conquer the forts of the Jews. Few days go by. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. It's a lengthy story. Sahaba say he is not well, his eye is very sore, cannot see very well. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls for him. He comes in front of the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes out his Mubarak saliva, reads some dua, then rubs it on the eye of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. Immediately it becomes better. All that pain disappears. Qatada bin Nu'man radiallahu ta'ala an, the battle of Uhud is taking place. Battle of Uhud, very severe battle. We know the history. Yeah, those archers came down, there was some error in judgment and there was chaos. Sahaba began to flee the battlefield. Just a handful stood by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amongst them was Talha radiallahu ta'ala. Each arrow that came, Talha would place his hand out. He was struck with so many arrows that his hand became paralyzed, because he was defending Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like that, Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala placed his chest and he was busy shooting the arrows. Nabiya Kareem sallam peeping behind him to see if he hit his target. And he, Abu Talha al-Ansari would say, Ya Rasulullah, please don't look over me. The enemy might kill you. Nahri duna nahrik. May my life be sacrificed instead of your life. Abu Qatada, Nu'man bin Qatada radiallahu ta'ala an. His eye is wounded. The enemy shoots an arrow. His eye actually falls off its socket, falls onto his cheek, hanging out of his socket. Imagine what pain he must have been going through. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees him in that condition, reads some dua, places his Mubarak hands, pushes that eye back into its place. He says, Allah's qasam, lifelong I could see far better with this eye than my other eye. Mu'jizatun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are kitabs only on the miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just his miracles. So many miracles we can discuss. If the goat was not giving milk, Umm Ma'bad radiallahu ta'ala anha, when Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making hijrat with Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, and as they're proceeding, they see an old lady in a tent. They ask her for some milk. She says, I don't have anything. Nabiya Kareem sallam sees a goat there, a lean goat, almost dying out of starvation and hunger. He says, can I use this goat? She says, why not? He places his Mubarak hands on the udders of this goat. Immediately, it brings so much of milk that he quenches his thirst. Abu Bakr Siddiq quenches his thirst and he even leaves some for Umm Ma'bad radiallahu ta'ala. At that time, she was not a Muslim. Her husband comes by. He says, I think somebody has been here. She describes the two people came down. He says, this is the person who is the true Nabi. Let me go in search of him and embrace Islam. And therefore, when he was a little baby, the moment he came onto the lap of Halima Sa'diya radiallahu ta'ala anha, Halima Sa'diya's story we have heard, we have from childhood days, we have been reading, we read that to our little children, that she came with her friends from the countryside coming, she came into Makkah, and they would come, they were witnesses, and they would take a child, And they would feed this child and take this child into the countryside and they would care for this child in lieu of some money. And she was extremely poor. She came with her husband and her own little child who was crying all the way long. He had no food, no milk. She was very weak herself. They were extremely poor. And when they came to Makkah, all her friends who had gone far ahead of her on the journey because their camels were far stronger. And each one of her friends, they found a child. But Halima Sa'diya, when door to door she was turned down, she comes to the door of Amina, the mother of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Durra Yateem, this orphan, Allah, no father. Abdullah had passed away before Rasulullah was born. When he was born, Amina, his mother, had seen Noor coming out of her house right till the palaces of Busra, Persia. She knew this child is somebody different. Entire Makkah was lit up. Halima Sa'diya says, I've got nothing, I'm so weak, but let me take this child. The moment she takes hold of this child, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she says, suddenly I see barakat coming to me. My chest was dried, now suddenly so much of milk that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drank, and my own child, he drank. The camel we mounted, or the animal we came on, was so weak, suddenly it began to move so swiftly, that as we moved on this camel, we actually surpassed our friends. And they began to shout out at us, Halima, wait for us, wait for us. But we had reached the countryside, our hometown, before they could reach. The moment I entered my house, she says, it was full of barakat. My goats would bring so much of milk. Although they were grazing on the same pastures as the other people's goats would graze. See, goats would come back with nothing. My goats would bring so much of milk. Respected brothers and elders, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was no ordinary human being. He was no ordinary human being. He was Khatamul Anbiya. In a hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah has given me many names. أنا محمد وأنا أحمد وأنا الحاشر الذي يحشر الناس عند قدمي وأنا العاقب وفي رواية وأنا المقفي وأنا نبي التوبة وأنا نبي الرحمة. He says, I am Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah had chosen this name for him. Muhammad, the praiseworthy. Allah sends praise. Allah has praised him. Allah has given him praise already. In the dunya, he is full of praise. Muazzin says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Kalima is not complete. La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Iqama. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. 5 times every day. Every minaret of the world sounds out the azan. Ana Muhammad wa ana Ahmad, both mean the same. Wa ana al-hashir alladhi yuhshiru an-nasu 'inda qadamayya. On the day of Qiyamah, I am called Hashir. Everybody will be raised at my feet. I will be the leader. In one riwayat, ana imamun nabiyyin. Ana imamun nabiyyin wa khatibuhum yawm al-qiyamah. I will be the imam of every Nabi on the day of Qiyamah. I will be the khatib, one who gives the khutbah. I will address Allah on behalf of every person. Ana awwalu man yunshaqa anhu al-ard. In one hadith he said, the first person to wake up from his grave, to be resurrected, will be Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I will be given the liwa, the flag of hamd and praise. وَآدَمُ تَحْتَ لِوَائِي Adam alayhi salatu salam will be also behind my flag. I will have the most or the largest followers on the day of Qiyamah. It will be a source of pride for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I will be the first person, أَنَا أَوَّلُ مَنْ يَقْرَعُ بَابَ الْجَنَّةِ I will be the first person to knock on the doors of Jannah. Jannah will be opened for me. I will be the first person to enter Jannah. No Nabi can enter Jannah until I enter Jannah. No Ummah can enter Jannah until my Ummah enters Jannah. We are not ordinary Ummah. We are a special Ummah. Our Nabi is so special. وَأَنَا الْعَاقِبُ وَأَنَا الْمُقَفِّي Meaning there will be no Nabi to come after me. No Nabi. خَاتَمُ النَّبِيِّينَ Seal of Prophethood. Sahaba say, we could see the seal of Prophethood behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One person checked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's qualities that were mentioned in the Torah. Everything was correct. Just the خَاتَمُ النَّبِيِّينَ was left, the seal of Prophethood. How is he going to see this? So somehow he's trying to come behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to get a peep at the Khatamun Nabeen. Nabiyya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed by Allah. He says, oh my brother, come and check. Come and see my seal of Prophet. Size of a pigeon's egg. Various narrations have been mentioned. Just near the left shoulder of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, beneath his left shoulder. This was a seal of Prophethood. No Nabi to come back, to come after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Any person can claim, hadith says there'll be 30 people, kazzaboon, liars, false prophets. They will claim to be prophets. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Musaylama. So many others, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, still, before Qiyamah, 30 people will be false prophets, they will claim prophethood. I am Khatamun Nabiyin, he says. No Nabi to come after me. Ana Nabiyur Rahma, Ana Nabiyur Tawba. I am the Nabi of Tawba. What does this mean? Commentators have said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one gathering, Inni la astaghfirullah fil yumi mi'ata marrah. 100 times, one gathering, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. He was ma'soom, sinless, committed no sins. Even if he made a little mistake or something which was, he could have done something better. That what he did was correct, but he could have done something better. For that also he sought istighfar from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ O my Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, any sin you committed previously, any sin that you may commit, everything maaf. You are sinless. Still he would make, Ya Allah forgive me. Rabbi ighfir. Oh Allah forgive me. Oh Allah forgive me. Oh Allah forgive me. Nabi Tawbah. Some commentators say that he would seek forgiveness on behalf of his ummah. And Allah, because of bi barakatihi, mentioned in the kitab, because of the barakat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his beloved Nabi, Allah would accept the Tawbah on behalf of whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has sought repentance. Ana Nabiyur Rahma. He was an embodiment of mercy.
وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ
Allah says, and we did not send you except as a mercy to al-alameen, all the worlds. Who was the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? To illustrate his mercy, Sahaba traveling, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's eye goes onto a colony of ants. Ants. One Sahabi suddenly goes and he burns the colony of ants. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becomes upset. He said, إِنَّهُ لَا يُعَذِّبُ بِالنَّارِ إِلَّا رَبُّ النَّارِ Only the Rabb of the fire has the right to use fire to kill any person. Only Allah has the right to use fire to destroy any person. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped that Sahabi from killing those colony of ants. In that journey or another journey as they were traveling, one Sahabi, innocently he sees a mother bird with the nestlings. So he goes and he takes those nestlings and he covers it and he brings it. Covered in a shawl. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks, what's that? He says, Ya Rasulullah, I took away the nestlings of that mother. He said, oh, 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 what have you done? Why have you made that mother scared? You have taken away her little nestlings, her masoom little children. Give her her nestlings back. Return her birds to her. Animals also he showed mercy to. Prisoners of war, they were captured. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would tell the Sahaba, استوسوا بالأسارى خيرا أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, that be kind to the captives, to not torture them, to not humiliate them. You know what the Sahaba would do? They would prepare food for the captives, for the prisoners, and they would suffice on whatever remains. Why? This is the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thumama bin Uthal radiallahu anhu's story is very famous. He is captured. He's an enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he's tied around a pillar in Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Each day Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes. Himself. He could have sent somebody else. He comes forward. Ya O Thumama, how are you today? He first feeds him with his own hands. I have brought food for you. How are you feeling, Thumama? Thumama would say, Kun. Thumama would then plead to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be a kind person. Spare my life. In taqtul taqtul za damin. If you're going to kill me, well, then you're killing a person who's got life. Or his life will be avenged by his family. وَإِن تُنْعِمْ تُنْعِمْ عَلَىٰ شَاكِرْ, if you should bestow favors upon me, I'll be grateful to you. If you want wealth, سَلْ تُعْطَىٰ, I'll give you wealth. But let me go. After 3 days, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his own hands, he loosens this rope. He says, Thumama, go, you are free. Thumama goes out of the masjid. He takes ghusl in a pond nearby. He comes back. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أنك رسول الله. He brings iman. Mercy with the yatim, orphans. أنا وكافر اليتيم يتيمك هاتين. I am the guardian and protector of a yatim on the day of Qiyamah. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says, I am the guardian of a yatim will be like this. So close. He worried about the rights of the yatim, the orphans. Rights of the woman. What rights the woman had in pre-Islamic era? Time of Jahiliyyah, if you read the kitabs, you'll be baffled, mind-boggling, you'll be shocked. What terrible conditions they had to undergo. They had no rights whatsoever. Imagine, we have heard this so many times, but each time it brings tears to our eyes. Young, beautiful baby is born. But it's a girl. Now this causes pain, agony, embarrassment to the father. Oh ho, I've got a daughter. If only I had a son, the son would help me. He'll support me, he'll work with me, he'll bring money home. Daughter, I must care for her, nurture her, look after her. Then give her in somebody else's marriage. Of what benefit will she be? This was the belief they had, the Arabs had. So they would actually go and kill their daughters or bury them alive. Quran says, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ قِيَامَ دِي Allah will ask that little masoom child, you were buried alive, بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ, oh my masoom child, what guna you did that your father killed you, buried you alive? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting with Sahaba one day. It was a habit, one part of Rasulullah's life. After Fajr, Sometimes you would ask them, anybody saw a dream last night? Of course, not like our kind of dreams. Any dream we see, Manana, what's the interpretation? Sometimes, honestly, you don't know, must cry or laugh. Any dream, especially at home, any dream they see. Yes, sometimes there's some meaning in it. We've got to be very careful who we ask for interpretation. I'm saying this again and again because this is one of the most common questions or queries that people ask. I'm not saying the dreams have no place in Sharia. We explain this thing in detail in one of the majlises. In detail we explain. But everything you see now, you doesn't mean it's something. We have to clear our mind, our thoughts. I'm digressing. Hope I don't forget where I stopped. We have to clear our minds when you sleep. Read our du'as. We don't read those du'as. We're reading some novel, watching those porn movie, seeing some crime scene, or reading some article, or talking about something. So obviously we're going to dream something related to it, not necessarily the same thing, something related. Now suddenly we see somebody strangling us, or somebody shooting at us. Something's happening, something will happen. So we should understand, read our du'as. Yes, sometimes you see a true dream, sometimes Allah is cautioning us, sometimes Allah is warning us. We must refrain from sin, live a life of piety, taqwa. And after that, if something comes about and somebody has the knowledge of interpreting those dreams, then well and good. But we ask anybody, everybody, whatever interpretation they will give, that is what's going to take place. So the simple solution, if you are scared, you see a nightmare, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, very gently without any saliva coming out of your mouth, on your left hand side, you spit on your left hand side, and then you give sadaqah during the day, because sadaqah wards off all evil. Wards off evil. No bala, any bala was coming down from the heaven, and you took out some charity. Besides zakat, take out sadaqah also. There are so many people who may not be eligible for zakat, yet they are poor. And if you become the means of the happiness of one person, one family, they've got some food to eat, do you know how happy Allah will become with you? I swear by Allah, there are thousands of people, we just have to look for them. You know how generous Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was? Sahaba are present. They are about to go out on a journey. Sahaba have got the conveyances. One person comes. He's a stranger. He's got an animal to ride on. But he looks this way, looks that way, yameenan wa shimalan. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam looks at him, realizes this man is in search of food. He's got means of transport, he's got no food. He calls the Sahaba. Oh my Sahaba, any person who's got a spare animal, and if somebody requires it, please give it to him. Oh my Sahaba, any person who's got spare food, extra food, then please give it to somebody who requires it. Oh my Sahaba, any person who's got surplus and extra money, and if somebody requires, give it. Like this, he mentioned variety of items. The Sahaba say, Allah's Qasam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam began to enumerate one after the other. If you have surplus of this, if you have extra this, then you must give it to that person. Extra this, give it to a person who is needy, somebody who is in want. Sahaba thought that in our lives now, anything extra we have, we will have no right in it. We have to give it to some other person. A person comes in the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi Kareem observes him, nudging some sahabi, making some request. The sahabi tells him something. Nabi Kareem then addresses the sahaba, oh my sahaba, if somebody comes to you and they require something, you don't have it, and that particular person, perhaps he is a stranger, or he is a bit afraid, or he's feeling shy or embarrassed to come and ask me directly, then you intercede on his behalf. All you got to do, Ya Rasulullah, this man requires something. If I have it in my possession, I will give it to him. Whatever Allah wishes to grant him, Allah will use me to give it to him. And if I don't have, then I'll apologize to him. It was a habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If somebody came, he would give the person. If he did not have that item, he would say, come to me a certain day, I will give it to you. Or he would ask another sahabi to arrange that item for him. Ulama say he did not know la in his life. There was no la. No. There was no in his life. Every time, naam, you want something, yes. You got it, yes. The only time he says la in tashahud, ashhadu an la ilaha illa. That's the only time he said la. What does I say? Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would ask sahaba. Anybody saw a dream, then they would narrate something. Sometimes they would even talk about the times of jahiliyat. And they would make shukr. They would make shukr that how Allah saved them when they did not have iman. And how Allah blessed them with iman. So sahaba would mention, like one sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah, you know, one day, my wife made one biscuit and that was my God. And I should worship this God of mine. Every day look at this and I worship this God. One day I was traveling, and all my food got finished. Then I took out this biscuit of mine, looked at it, put it back again. No. He said, I went a bit further, I took it out, I said, let me just, I'm hungry. And I began to eat this biscuit. And they began to laugh. One sahabi says, Ya Rasulullah, I got something to tell you, but I'm too scared. Nabiya Kareem said, what is it? Tell me. He says, Ya Rasulullah, my wife gave birth. And I just left home just before she could give birth. And those days they would travel for long periods. Long journeys. He says, when I came back after a few months, my wife looks at me, she's worried, very perturbed. What is it? She shows me a beautiful baby, beautiful daughter. He says, Ya Rasulullah, I was overwhelmed with her beauty. So I decided not to kill her. So we concealed her. We hid her. Why? He says, because it used to be embarrassing if anybody came to know you got a daughter, they would mock and jeer at us. وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْأُنْثَى ظَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدًّا وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ يَتَوَارَى مِنَ الْقَوْمِ مِنْ سُوءِ مَا بُشِّرَ بِهِ أَيُمْسِكُهُ عَلَى هُونٍ أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي التُّرَابِ. Allah says, when one of them was given glad tidings of a daughter, then they would be overwhelmed with grief. Oh, ayumsikuhu, must I keep this and bear the embarrassment from my friends who will mock and jeer at me? Or shall I just bury this child alive? Allah says, Allah sama yahkumun. How terrible is their reasoning? Where is the aqal? Innocent child, what guna has she done? He says, Ya Rasulullah, as the child began to grow, then I realized now I have to expose her. So I made a plan one day and I took her. On the pretense that we are going for a picnic, I took a ride into the forest. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I took my spade. I began to dig this hole. It was extremely hot. I began to perspire. The beads of perspiration came down my face. My little daughter, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, grabbed the spade from me. She did not know what I was busy, what I was up to. She says, oh my father, let me assist you, let me help you. She grabbed the spade, not knowing that this is going to be her qabr forever. And she began to dig this hole. She began to help me. Finally, when the hole was dug, I grabbed her by her hands. I threw her into this hole. And she looked at me, painful eyes, looking at me, crying and shrieking, Ya Abati, oh my beloved father, oh my beloved father, please spare me, please spare me. He says, I can hear her cry ringing in my ears. I took the sand, I threw it onto her face and onto her mouth. And that was the end of her. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could not stomach it. He began to cry. What did you do, my sahabi? What did you do? He turned away. Of course, when the sahaba embraced Islam, Allah had forgiven them. Allah had completely forgiven them. But this was the worth of a woman before Islam. If you look at how a woman used to marry, the nikah that used to take place, Look at her iddat. She would stay if her husband passed away for an entire year in a remote corner of her house in a disheveled condition, wearing rags. And on the passing of 1 year, her iddat will finish. She will take the droppings of an animal, smear it over her head, and that marks now that now her iddat is over. Islam gave them that freedom from that bondage. They were slaves, or worse than slaves. What rights do women cry for today? Why are they crying for those rights? Because you and I, respected brothers, we have lost our aqal. We have lost our mind. We actually behave barbaric at home. We don't know how to treat our wives. This is the truth. We have the guts to abuse them, to whoop them, to lash out at them. So many mentally, they've been tortured, physically tortured. The only reason they're staying in our nikahs is because of our masoom children. When is aqal going to come to us? I'm not saying that they are wrong. Many times they are wrong. Many times the other way, they are beating up the men. But this is general. This is the ummah's plight throughout the world. Imagine that mother, her eye is gone bruised, blue. Face is disfigured. She has to make up a lie to her children. I slipped in the bathroom. I hurt and injured myself. Allah is not blind. Allah is not blind. We can talk about Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the entire night. I am in most need of the akhlaq of Rasulullah, so there is no doubt about that. And I swear by Allah, I am the worst of every person sitting. It is easy to give these bayans. But when we really look at it and we compare our lives, it haunts us. That this was the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is your life. May Allah, that is why we're speaking about him. May Allah give us the true akhlaq of Rasulullah. We all are weak. But we must make up our minds to change our conditions. Just bring one sunnah in our life. One sunnah. And then improve on that sunnah and then take another sunnah. We can't bring 100 sunnahs in one day. It's impossible. One sunnah, work at it at a time. Look at his akhlaq. Books are written. Check. Do we lie? Do we cheat? How do we treat our workers at the business, at the factory, at our workplaces? Yeah, so many instances are coming to mind now, but I'm not going to go into the details. How do we treat our patients? How do we treat our parents and our children? How do we treat our neighbors? Do you know the rights of neighbors? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said, مَا زَالَ جِبْرِيلُ يُوصِينِي بِالْجَارِ Jibreel alayhi salatu salam continuously advised me, commanded me with the rights of the neighbor, حَتَّى ظَنَنْتُ أَنَّهُ سَيُوَرِّثُهُ To such an extent that I now thought that Jibreel alayhi salatu salam will say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they tell the ummah, when each person passes away, his neighbor will also inherit from his wealth. To that extent. Of course, they don't inherit. But he says, what rights they have over us? Rights of human beings. Salam. Smile. وَتَبَسُّمُكَ فِي وَجْهِ أَخِيكَ لَكَ صَدَقَةً MashaAllah, we can take our big checks and give sadaqah. Rasulullah SAW says, smiling at your Muslim brother, that is sadaqah. How many of us smiled when we entered our homes? What love and affection we have shown to the child. Ask a psychologist, psychiatrist, when the child is not performing well in school, when the child is having problems, when the child is misbehaving, and they're serious, what is it? The child has been deprived of love and affection. And because it is looking for attention now, it does very strange things. You'll find a child in the classroom suddenly screaming for no reason. The teacher will reprimand the child. But there's a problem. This child is looking for attention. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes out of the masjid once and he sees his beloved grandson, Allah, or Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, or Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. He kisses Hassan or Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. Aqrab bin Habis radiallahu ta'ala is there. Ya Rasulullah, atuqabbilu subyanakum? You actually kiss your children? He says, yes, why not? So Aqrab bin Habis says, I've got 10 children. Ma qabbaltu minhum ahadan. I never kiss any one of them. Rasulullah says, what must I do if Allah has snatched away mercy from your heart? You got no mercy in your heart. And then you see you the ummati of rahmatul alameen. Sahaba ikram love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They sat in his company. They practiced upon his teachings. They could not bear a single moment when they were absent from his gathering. They couldn't bear it. Imagine that sahabi sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, enjoying that company. Allahu Akbar. You know how handsome he was, how handsome. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says, I was looking for my needle one night, it was dark. I couldn't find my needle. Suddenly my master sallallahu alaihi wasallam knocks on the door, he makes salam, he enters. The moment he enters, the Mubarak face, the light that came out from the brilliant Mubarak face, it immediately I could see my needle. Sawab bin Ghaziyya radiallahu ta'ala, Battle of Badr, I mentioned this in this masjid many times, those who are listening first time. Sawab bin Ghaziyya radiallahu ta'ala, Battle of Badr, the greatest battle that ever took place in the history of Islam. The night before the battle, Rasulullah is crying sajda. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, bi rahmatika nastaghi. Ya Allah, tomorrow if we are killed, Ya Allah, you won't be worshipped anymore. Because there won't be any more Nabi, there won't be any more Ummah. He cried so much that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala came running forward. Ya Rasulullah, bas enough, hasbuk, enough. Imagine the safs are made now, battle is about to take place. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a twig in his hand, a branch. He's putting the Sahaba in place. Sawab bin Ghaziyya radiallahu ta'ala was out of line. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prodded him, pushed him in line with his little piece of branch. Immediately Sawab bin Ghaziyya turned, Ya Rasulullah, Aqidni Ya Rasulullah, Wallahi awja'tani, Allah's qasam, you caused me pain, I want qisas, I want to take revenge. Great Sahaba present, Abu Bakr Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Ali radiallahu ta'ala, great Sahaba were there, what are you talking about? Take revenge from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallam looks at him, Sawad, come Sawad. He says, Ya Rasulullah, I didn't have any shirt on my body. My chest was bare. You've got a kurta on. It's not fair. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam removes his shirt. Battle of Badr about to take place. Sawad bin Ghaziyya comes running forward to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he presses on the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah, this is what I wanted. لَعَلِّي هَذَا آخِرُ أَهْدِي بِكَ. Perhaps this is the last moments of my life with you. And I will go, I will become shaheed. And that's the end of me. I wanted my last few moments in this world where I could touch your Mubarak body with my body. My skin may touch your body. And this is what I wanted. This was the love they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala was the muaddin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had appointed him to call out the adhan. There were other sahaba also, Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum radiallahu ta'ala, Abdullah bin Zaid bin Abdi Rabbi, who were also muaddin. But Bilal radiallahu ta'ala is famous. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed on, Bilal radiallahu ta'ala could not take it. So he decided to leave Medina. He could not call out the adhan anymore. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala said, Bilal, where are you going to Bilal? How can you leave Medina? Bilal radiallahu ta'ala asked Abu Bakr, oh Abu Bakr, you freed me when I was a slave. If you did it for yourself, then I'll take this as the command, I'll remain behind. If you did it for Allah, then let me go. He said, I did it for Allah. So you may go. He went to Damascus. Few months go by. He sees a dream. Rasulullah comes in his dream. Oh Bilal, mahad al-jafa. Where are you? Why are you missing? Why have you left me? Bilal radiallahu anhu comes immediately, comes to Madinah Munawwara. It's his luck he meets the beloved grandchildren of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hassan Hussein radiallahu anhu. Bilal, please Bilal, call out the azan, we beg you. They insisted, when it was time for azan, he called it Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. It is mentioned, the women folk, the children, the men from every home came out running in the gullies of Medina. It reminded them of the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came to Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. He fell unconscious. He could not call out the adhan. What love they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahabi sitting in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes home, restless, bechain. We go home, we bechain. Why? Hey, the tijori key, I don't know which pocket, where I left it. In the car, shall I go back to the shop? It's dangerous. Let me just go just in case. Let me check in the car. You check his pocket 10 times, just it. Shout the wife, she wasn't even there. Put all the blame on her. Bechain, pareshan. This sahabi is restless not because of dunya, my brothers. And sister listening over the receiver. He's restless because just he left just few moments ago. He was in Rasulullah's company, and already he missed him. Just the thought came back. Let me just go check on him. Is he okay? Is he okay? He goes, knocks on the door. Take permission, make salam. Ya Rasulullah, I just wanted to see your Mubarak face just one more time. Just one more time. How often we heard this hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu? 14 full moon, beautiful moon. Every poet talks about the 14 full moon. Jabir radiallahu anhu looks at the 14 full moon and is busy admiring it when suddenly his glance falls on the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh ho! Looks again in the full moon, again at Rasulullah sallam, few times, and he says, Allah's qasam, the brilliance on my Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's face outshines the brilliance of the 14 full moon. That is why Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha would say, if only the friends of Zulaikha, when they saw Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam beauty, and they began to cut the fingers, if they saw my Muhammad Arabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, they would not just cut the fingers, they would slice their hearts open because of his beauty. وَأَحْسَنَ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَرَقَتْتُ عَيْنِي وَأَجْمَلَ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلِدِ النِّسَاءُ خُلِقْتَ مُبَرَّأً مِنْ كُلِّ عَيْبِ كَأَنَّكَ خُلِقَتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ. Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala, the poet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such a great sahabi, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually got another minbar erected for Hassan bin Thabit in his masjid. Oh Hassan, you stand there and you call out ash'ar in my praise. You defend me, you defend Islam, because oh Hassan, your words, when you mention your poetry, Jibreel alayhi salatu salam assists you. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make dua. Allahumma ayyidhu bi ruhil qudus. Oh Allah, when Hassan praises me, when Hassan defends me, when the enemy begin to mock and jeer at me, oh Allah, you assist Hassan. Oh, you send, ya Allah, send Jibreel to assist him and give him beautiful words. He will say, oh Hassan, the piercing of the arrow that strikes the enemy does not cause them more pain than your beautiful words in my defense and the defense of Islam and Iman. This is his poetry. وَأَحْسَنَ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَرَقَتْتُ عَيْنِي. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, more better than you, no eyes have ever seen. وَأَجْمَلَ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلِدِ النِّسَاءُ. No woman has conceived any person more handsome than you. It is as though you have been created absolutely perfect. your eyes, your ears, your nose, your face, your hair, your hands, your limbs, as though you were created how you wish to be created. As though Allah asked you before creating you how you would like your features to be. That is why another poet says, بَلَغَ الْعُلَى بِكَمَالِي بَلَغَ الْعُلَى بِكَمَالِهِ كَشَفَ الدُّجَى بِجَمَالِهِ حَسُنَتْ جَمِيعُ خِصَالِهِ صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ اللهم صل. بَلَغَ الْعُلَى بِكَمَالِهِ His perfection, he reached the zenith, the peak, the summit of perfection. تیری ہر ادا ہے پیاری. Every ada of his, every movement, every utterance, every action of his was so beautiful, was so perfect. His humility, Allahu Akbar, his sabr. One great person had written, one author wrote in Arabic, it says, مَا تَعَمُّهُ فَصَبَرْ. His uncle Abu Talib passed away, he made sabr. وَمَا تَدْ زَوْجَتُهُ فَصَبَرْ. His wife Khadija passed away, he made sabr. وَقُتِلَ حَمْزَ فَصَبَرْ. Hamza became shaheed, he made sabr. وَمَاتَ إِبْنُهُ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. Ibrahim passed away, he made sabr. وَرُمِيَ زَوْجَتُهُ عَائِشَ. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was slandered. She was absolutely innocent and she was slandered. Rasulullah made sabr, فَصَبَرْ. And he enumerated so many things, he said, أُخْرِجَ مِن مَكَّةَ فَصَبَرْ. He was driven out of Makkah, he made sabr. شَتَمُوهُ وَسَبُّوهُ. The Meccans began to laugh and mock at him, they swore at him, they scoffed at him. They drove him out of Makkah, فَصَبَرْ. فَهُوَ إِمَامُ الصَّابِرِينَ وَالشَّاكِرِينَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He was the Imam of sabr, embodiment of patience. His humility, his tawadu. He had no pride whatsoever. He taught the ummah, مَنْ تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ. Whoever has humility, Allah will raise him. Whoever has humility for the sake of Allah, Allah will raise him. وَمَنْ تَكَبَّرَ. Whoever displays pride and arrogance, وَضَعَهُ اللَّهِ. Allah will destroy him. Allah will humiliate him. He showed kindness. He showed generosity. He showed how to honor our Muslim brothers and sisters. He showed how to honor the entire mankind. He would make dua for his ummat. Allahumma fill li ummati. Allahumma fill li ummati. Day and night this was his pain. Day and night this was his worry. Day and night this was his concern. لَقَدْ أُذِيتُ فِي اللَّهِ وَمَا يُوذَ أَحَدْ. I had been troubled in the path of Allah. No person was given so much of trouble and pain like how I was given. وَلَقَدْ أُخِفْتُ فِي اللَّهِ وَمَا يُخَافُ أَحَدْ. I was terrorized in the path of Allah. No other person was terrorized and scared as much as I was. He says, وَلَقَدْ عَتَتْ عَلَيَّ ثَلَاثُونَ مِنْ لَيْلًا مِنْ يَوْمٍ وَلَيْلًا. 30 days go by. Entire month goes by. وَمَا لِي وَلِي بِلَال. And I and Bilal have nothing to eat. Nothing to eat. مَا يَأْكُلُ ذُو كَبِدٍ إِلَّا مَا يُوَارِي إِبْتُ بِلَالٍ. I have nothing to eat. Bilal has nothing to eat. Except that meager amount. That small amount. Which if it had to be put under Bilal's armpit, Bilal could conceal that few morsels of food. Nothing to eat. 2 months, consecutive months go by. Sayyidina Aisha and all other wives say that our stoves were not lit. We had no food at home. No food. He was an abd. He was a slave of Allah. He showed us humility. The camel's intestine is placed on his back. Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayth, his enemy, comes. And whilst the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in sajda, front of Baytullah, wa huwa sajidun, the enemy Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayth, who's prompted by his friends, the miscreants, they come and he places the camel's intestine on his back. فَثَّبَتَ. He remains firm. He sings Subhan Rabbi al-A'la. Subhan Rabbi al-A'la. Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayth takes a shawl and he begins to strangle Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَخَنَقَهُ خَنْقًا شَدِيدًا. Throttling him, almost he's going to die until he's saved and rescued. They would laugh at him, mock at him, place thorns in his path. Rasulullah gave them. Fatih Makkah takes place. Makkah is conquered. Makkah lies at his feet. He climbs the staircase of the Kaaba. Every person is in front of him. All his enemy is in front of him. He says, how am I going to deal with you today? He says, you are a beloved brother. You are a beloved son. He says, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم. The same lesson that we learn from Yusuf alayhi salatu salam. When he pardoned, he forgave his brothers. He says, I forgive you also. A Yahudi had lent him money. And it is mentioned in the riwayat of Bukhari that, or in another book, authentic book of a hadith, that this Yahudi comes 2 or 3 days before the due date. It wasn't fair. But he comes, and now he demands his money. Rasulullah says, I don't have anything now to give you. He says, well, لا أفارقك, I will not leave you, I will stand with you. Sahaba look at him with big eyes. Nabiya Kareem Salam tells them, مَنَعَنِي رَبِّي أَنْ أَظْلِمَ مُعَاهِدًا. Allah has prohibited me from making zulam on that person who we have given peace to, he has signed a peace agreement with us, he says, him, me, so I cannot make zulam upon him, I have to give him his due, although he's not his right now, there's still a few more days left. Nevertheless, Nabiya Kareem Salam Salam waits there. Sahaba say, فَصَلَّى الظُّهْرَ. Zuhr namaz, he reads. I mean, Zuhr goes. Then it is Asar. Then Maghrib. Then Isha. Entire night. Fasalla al-Ghadat. Next Fajr, he reads. Till the next day, midday. Midday, next day. Then this Jew says, I have tested you. I have tested you in my Torah. This sifat of tolerance was mentioned about you. You have passed the test. I now bear witness, there is no God but Allah, and you Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the messenger of Allah. Zayd bin Su'ana radiallahu ta'ala, before he became a Muslim, he was a priest amongst the Yahud. He was a rabbi. He was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We'll take a few more minutes, inshallah. Inshallah, we'll read namaz on time. A few minutes here and there, if you just go a few minutes more. We have made, inshallah, whatever we have spoken today, is for the thawab of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah ta'ala give him maqam and mahmood. Where his ummatis, I was just mentioning to some brothers the other day, you know, when we write any article, then when it comes to Muhammad, we write sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in short, we just put S-A-W. Or in Arabic, we just put a sword. Or in Urdu, a sword. My brothers, it is important, and my sister listening over the receiver, just think of the man sacrifices for us. Think of his crying for us. Think of the trials and tribulations. All the pain and suffering for who? For you and I. Allahumma ummati, Allahumma ummati. What's there? How much of time? What pain will it take us? What effort? If we write sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in full, either Arabic or English, we lose nothing. Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullah has written in his kitab, the very first person to write the abbreviated form of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he wrote maybe a sad, or S-A-W, his hands became paralyzed. Zayd bin Su'ana, sitting there, a person comes, and he says, Ya Rasulullah, I'm a new Muslim, new mu'min, and I promise my people, if they embrace Islam, then they will not suffer any hunger, and we have been struck with drought. I am afraid, just as they came into Islam voluntarily, and happily, they might leave Islam in the same way now. So I please help me, give me some assistance. Now Rasulullah asked Sahaba Ali radhiyallahu anhu, Ya Rasulullah, give her nothing. Nothing. Zayd bin Su'ana, Yahudi, is sitting there. He says, okay, I can help you. I will give him some money now, but you must give me so many date trees from a certain person's orchard. And this is the time period by which you must give it to me. Nabiya Kareem says, don't specify whose orchard, but we'll give you that amount of date. So, time is fixed, and he agrees. This person takes the money and he goes away. Some time goes by again, it's not due date, time has not expired. Zayd bin Su'ana comes, and he grabs hold of Rasulullah by his collar, pulls at him, where's my dates? Nabiya Kareem said, I told you I will give it to you. He says, you know, you, ma'adallah, ma'adallah. You from the family of Abdul Muttalib. You are notorious for not paying people the due. What a lie. What a lie. What a lie. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, almost ready to draw his sword to strike off the neck of this Yahudi. How dare you talk to my Nabi in this way? How dare you talk to my Nabi in this way? And he begins to reprimand and rebuke him. Nabi Kareem turns to Umar, Umar, him and I deserve to be spoken something else. Talk to him in a kind way that he should ask for his repayment in a nice manner and tell me, O Nabi of Allah, kindly pay the man his due. That's all you have to do. Now Umar, go into the Baytul Mal, or he tells him to go into the wherever they had this, the dates kept. He said, give him whatever his due, plus another 20 more trees full of dates. Or a certain quantity was given, was told to Umar, Nabi Kareem told him, give him 20 more of that amount to him. Why? Because you scared. You threatened him. He did not deserve this extra threat from you. Zayd bin Su'ana did not hear that. As they are proceeding, Umar radhiyallahu anhu gives him all the dates. He says, this is extra. Why extra? He says, my Nabi sallallahu alayhi commanded me because I was harsh to you. So Zayd bin Su'ana says, Umar, don't you recognize me? He says, no, who are you? He says, I'm Zayd. Zayd bin Su'ana, the rabbi? You're supposed to be a learned scholar. Why do you behave in this way? He says, oh, Umar, I wanted to test your Nabi, to test his tolerance and his patience. Your Nabi has passed the test. Oh, Umar, I bear witness that he is the true Nabi and I embrace Islam. He brought Iman. My respected brothers in Allah's Qasam, there are so many instances. Love of Sahaba. The sacrifice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The worry, the concern he had. His sunnahs. His beautiful seerah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us. This beautiful seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah make us genuine, true ummatis. And have and inculcate in ourselves the genuine, true akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is not late. It is not late. We may pick up books of seerah. We may read them cover to cover. For those moments and those nights when we read, we'll feel so nice. But then we put them back onto the shelf. That's not the place for the seerah. The seerah should become part of our seerah. The surah of Rasulullah should become part of our surah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us on the day of Qiyamah with the Mubarak, from his Mubarak hands, the Kothar water. This reminds me of just one incident we terminate. Sa'ib bin Yazid radiallahu ta'ala with the young Sahabi. The Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came one day and he just placed his hands, his Mubarak hands, on his forelock, and he made special dua for Barkat. Sa'ib bin Yazid had a long lifespan because of the dua of Rasulullah. He lived for 94 years and he had seen so much of Barkat in his life. He says, that place where Rasulullah placed his Mubarak hands, lam yashib minhu mawdi'un. That place, asabat yadu Rasulullah, that place where Nabi Kareem some touch of my head, my hair, it never turned white. It remained black how it was. Imagine day of judgment to get the Hawza Kothar water from our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to be true ummatis. Nabi Kareem sallam had mentioned to the two Sahaba that I wish my brothers had seen me. O kama qala alayhi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, are we not your brothers? He says, no. You are not my brothers. You are my companions. My brothers are those who have not seen me, but they brought Iman in me. They would wish that they could sacrifice every cent they have, all their wealth. They would wish that they could sacrifice their lives and their family just to see me. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the true Muhammad and Ishq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not just 12th of Rabiul Awwal that we celebrate the hymns of and praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My respected brothers and elders, time is running short. We do not know whose janazah is going to be before we leave this world. Make up this firm intention, firm resolution. That is the purpose of this talk, that I myself and all of us, our mothers and sisters, the entire ummah, let us make dua for all of us, inshallah, and then we'll have adhan.
اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك المصطفى خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله Oh my most beloved Allah my most kareem رحيم الله يا الله forgive us all of us يا الله هم كمزور هي هم ضعيف هي يا الله we are so weak my Allah you are مالك you are رازق Oh my Allah, your beloved creator. Oh Allah, we love you, my Allah. We love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We love Islam, we love Iman. Oh my Allah, but we commit so much of sins, ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us every single sin we have committed in the broad daylight, darkness of the night, in public, in privacy, major sins, minor sins. Ya Allah, we thought nobody was watching us. Ya Allah, you were watching us. Ya Allah, you concealed our sins. Our parents did not know of it. Our children did not know, come to know of it. Our society did not come to know of it. Oh my Allah, you are Sattar al-Uyub. You are Ghaffar al-Dunub. Ya Allah, we have raised our hands tonight, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, with this, Ya Allah, umid, that Ya Allah, you are going to forgive us, my Allah. Ya Allah, make us love Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make every sunnah of his coming to our life, my Allah. Ya Allah, make us have true ishq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make us make itiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make us, Ya Allah, genuine ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make us have the fikr of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, bless the entire ummat of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Forgive the ummat of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, help the ummat of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, our brothers have come here today. Our mothers and sisters, Ya Allah, listening in the madrasa over the receivers. Ya Allah, people have got such difficulties, Ya Allah, such problems, my Allah. Ya Allah, you are well aware of all our problems. Somebody has got a financial problem. Somebody has got no food to eat, Ya Allah. Somebody has got no money to pay his rent, Ya Allah. Somebody has got starvation. Somewhere there's famine, drought. Ya Allah, some place, Ya Allah, husband and wife, they are not talking, there's fighting taking place, there's divorce, my Allah. Some husband, Ya Allah, he's wounding his beloved wife, Ya Allah. He's causing her pain. He's insulting her, injuring her. Ya Allah, children are lost, my Allah. Oh, my Allah, children are taking drugs, my Allah. Ya Allah, forgive the ummah, help the ummah. You are well aware of all our problems, all our sicknesses and illnesses, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all those who are sick and ailing in hospitals at home, Ya Allah, whatever bimari they got, give them shifai kamil ajil mustaqir daim. All the marhumin, grant them jannatul firdaus, Ya Allah. Give us shahadat in your path, give us burial in jannatul baqi maut in Madina Sharif, Ya Allah. On the day of Qiyamah, raise us with Nabiya Kareem, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, make us enter jannat without any reckoning. Protect us from the azab of the qabr and the azab of jahannam. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم يلا give us barakah in our rizq in our sustenance ya Allah those who are going for umrah ya Allah those who are already gone grant them a maqbool umrah those who have made intention ya Allah whenever they're going to go ya Allah make the means easy for them ya Allah make the safar asan for them ya Allah make it a maqbool safar ya Allah those who have not seen ya Allah Makkah Mukarramah and Madinah Munawwarah as yet ya Allah take them for hajj and umrah ya Allah ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين